I'm thinking this. Yep, this one. Today is the 26th of August, and this is Sunday evening, and the title of this message is A Royal Priesthood. A Royal Priesthood. And I have a couple of comments that I want to make before I really get into the message. And I mentioned a couple of them this morning, and one of them was that it's common, especially if we are letter-minded, it's common to have certain scriptures that we have as favorites. And once we get into the spirit realm, I realize that makes a difference. Because once we're in the spirit, we don't have favorites. Now they're all favorites. They're all, and of course, Corky brought out a real interesting and good comment this morning. And it said it's strange for us to say that because we do have a scripture up on the front of the church out of 1 Timothy 2:4-5. But he also had a good clarification. And when you're in the spirit realm, those are vital scriptures, but they're not necessarily your favorite scripture. But we have a lot of favorites. And I thought, you know, I don't really have any favorite scriptures anymore, but we are moving into the every word category. In James 1:18, it says, of God's own will, he begot us with his word of truth. And it's a funny thing how you can read these scriptures and over the years and you can hear the word, these words. You don't realize that how vital it is that God will beget us by truth and how important the truth is. And so as a result, will there not be many who will love their false doctrines who may not be begotten by God? And then one other thing that I just happened to see the other day, in Ephesians 4:14, it tells us, it says, do not be carried away by every wind of doctrine. Do not be carried away by every wind of doctrine. And then in verse 15 it says, but speak the truth in love. And I think it says that you may grow into Christ or something. But so if we're not to be carried about with every wind of doctrine, what about the unity through diversity idea that is pretty rampant today? And I think it was Charlie that brought up an interesting major thing this morning that, you know, how can you have unity through disunity? Because that's what diversity is disunity. And then today, and I brought up a illustration of that this morning, but I won't right now. But today, the church has become the objective, the goal, and rather than a means to the goal. Mm-hmm. And so when people feel troubled, they think, I got to start going to church, not realizing that they're probably going to get themselves into a situation where they can't yet get out of it. And a comment, I don't have a clue. Okay, and this one I haven't alluded to yet, but I will. Make sure if you're trying to change somebody, that you're trying to change them God's way and not into something that you want. You know, in judgment, when people judge, the only way you can actually judge somebody is by your own standards. You have to have some standard that you go by in order to judge. Otherwise, there's no way you can judge. In Luke 6:35, it says that God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind even to the unthankful and to the evil. And, you know, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But that's what the Bible says. And I'm thinking that that's a limited situation. You know, there comes a point when judgment comes and sets in. In 1 Peter 2:5, God's real people, I'm putting that in because it doesn't say that, are called a holy priesthood. But in verse 9, they are called a royal priesthood. See? They're a holy priesthood. In verse 9, it calls them a royal priesthood. And then back in verse 5, it says that they are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm starting to understand that. I'm starting to understand what he's saying here. Without Christ, even our sacrifices are unacceptable. I just want to get my feet up there. There. If we don't worship through Christ, even our sacrifices are unacceptable. And it says in verse 9 that we are to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to show forth his praises, but what more so, I think what we're talking about here is that we are to glorify, magnify, whatever it is, the one who has called us, and let people know what's going on. I was affected, the minister, or you know, I don't know what, a little bit by Rusty and what's her name? Kathy?
I'm not sure.
Is that what they said? But anyway, she has some kind of church background somewhere. And I'd like to know what it is. You know, I'm wondering if she had her hand raised as she was praying. Mm. And I'm wondering if it's some type of Pentecostal. I mean, even a Baptist don't raise their hand, so, you know. I have a cup that I drink out of a lot of time. On the outside of it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And it is. But it's not just a lamp and it's not just a light. It's a life substance that somehow transforms us from the inside out. That scripture in Matthew or in Psalms 19:7, it says that God's word is perfect, converting the soul. There's more to this whole picture than what the church has realized. The word has some kind of an ability inside of us to work on us and change us from the inside out. That's why the kingdom of God, he says, don't you, the kingdom of God is within you. You know, the kingdom of God is within you. It appears that the royal priesthood is supposed to at least begin on this earth. And as priests, we are to help people out of the devil's darkness and into the marvelous light of God's truth. You know what? It's just like I have a sneaking suspicion that the priesthood, the Jewish priesthood, ended with the Baptist or with John the Baptist. It says the law and the prophets were until John.
Uh-huh.
I think it ended there, and the other priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood of Christ, began. Uh-huh. And it says because the priesthood was changed, so was the law. And so Jesus comes along, and this is the thing that has dumbfounded me over the years, that he does some of the strangest things ever. He doesn't uphold the law. He doesn't go with the law. He doesn't, go by the Sabbath teachings. But under Moses, it was instituted. And so it's like he says, the Son of Man is the Lord over the Sabbath too. And of course, they did not know who he was, but here he is. He's doing these strange things. He goes into Samaria, and the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, and it's like the Gentiles were bad, but the Samaritans were kind of a half-breed or mixed thing between some of the Jews and the Gentiles, and so they really hated him because you just don't do that. And of course, there was a reason in the past. That was so the bloodline didn't get perverted. But now here he is. He goes in and he not only talks to us, the Samaritans, but he talks to a woman of Samaria who has been married 5 times and lives with a man, given her phenomenal revelation. And it's like this priest has now come along, and this is a new priesthood. This is not judging by outward actions. This is judging by the inward heart. And he saw this woman, and he could tell as he talked to her, here is somebody that is hungry for God. You know what I mean? He could just tell by looking at her. Well, anyway, I'm thinking that even our ministry as priests are to begin here, even though we haven't accepted or we haven't acknowledged it, to help people out of darkness into God's light of truth. Did I say that right? Into God's light of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Into God's light of truth. Is that not what a priest is supposed to do? Is that not what the church is supposed to do? We got the church, and they're saying unity through diversity, which totally opposes what God has told us that he wants us to do. But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him, that's how it's worded in Ephesians. I think that the devil has a lot of ministers within a lot of today's churches. Oh, that'll go really big. We didn't get that really established today, but Pablo read somewhere and said that who was a great evangelist? Billy Graham. That Billy Graham had a lot of trouble between him and the churches over the years. I didn't know that. And his... Anyway, what he said about the church, he says today's churches are a mess. They're a mess.
Oh, do you have any AA batteries?
I don't mean in the middle of a message.
Do you have any AA batteries?
I could have.
Do you know where?
No.
I just use your four-wheeler for the decarbonist.
Okay.
Do you think you have any in your drawer?
I might have.
Okay, sorry for
interrupting the message. Okay. I think that the devil has a lot of ministers, or of his own ministers, in today's churches. And they use the Word of God every week and are even sure that they go by it. However, the teachers, whoever they are told by men and demons what the Scriptures really mean. And so men are taught private interpretations of darkness in church after church, and yet unspiritual cheerleaders work hard to convince each separated organization that they alone have the correct revelation of Scripture truth. Cheerleaders. Is that what they are? You know, I've been there. I've been a part of it. I don't know how much I did, but I'm sure I was part of it as a cheerleader as well as other people. And so once men let go of the Holy Spirit, which is God's way, and turn to the weakness of men's intellect, men get further and further away from God's truth. And so in the day of Jesus, men had gotten so far away from the truth within God's Word, so that the Bible tells us in Matthew 4:16 that they that sat in darkness now saw great light. You know what? We have a whole church system that sits in darkness right now. Mm-hmm. Private interpretations are darkness. Catholicism is darkness. Lutheranism is darkness. Baptism, the Baptist organization, it's a darkness organization. But they don't know that. I mean, they'd kill me for even suggesting that. But at the same point, truth is what what God wants people to know. God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Is that right?
That's right.
That's what His will is. Mm-hmm. For all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, they that sat in darkness saw great light. And of course, we understand that to mean that God began to open men's eyes to truth. What happened to us? You know what? I look back at it. I didn't see the big problem 15 years ago. I thought, how can we help the churches? And then I thought, well, why didn't Jesus try to help the churches? Why didn't he try to help the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Why didn't he just try to help them? Well, what he did is he presented it in a new way. Wash your hands, Chuck. Sorry. And God began to open men's eyes. And so in John 18:37, the Christ that was begotten of God said that he was born and sent by God to bear witness to the light of God's truth. Is that what it says? And of course, because the leaders were so deceived by the devil, they shut their eyes to that which God did through Christ. Look at Nicodemus. He says, we know you're from God. Nobody can do the things you do except God's with them. It's not possible. And so they closed their eyes to these things. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they wanted to re-kill him. And so they closed their ears to the things that, they closed their eyes to the things that Jesus did, and they closed their ears to the things that he said. But it was God that was speaking through him. As a matter of fact, God's great high priest. And they refused to receive what God said through him. He came and they received him not. However, those who will hear and do what God meant by what he said. I want to know what he meant by what he said. I want to know and I want to do it. Mm-hmm. To those God will give the power to become a royal priesthood. And so, when I first got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and the power of God was on us, and on Joanne and I, and we saw all of these things, were we fulfilling a priesthood? You know what I think is coming? I think God is going to put a truth in the people, and they're going to rise up, and they're going to fulfill this calling of God, of this priesthood calling. It's going to be a lot of us. I mean, I say us, I hope I'm one of them. And so because the Bible tells us that many are called, but only a few are chosen, and few there be that find it, I mean, those are come of the things, it sort of gives us a clue as to the real condition of today's church. The church is not as healthy as a lot of people would like to make it sound. They're pew warmers for the most part. See, the fact that God's word tells us that the righteous are scarcely saved, or that men are to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, and there's a lot of other verses that are just like that, It still fails to register with most churchgoers as the evidence of great deception. See, the devil somehow causes people not to think about it. I mean, it's just, don't think about it until it gets too late. Don't think about it till it gets too late. Don't think about it till it gets, you know what I'm saying? And then men panic. And see, most people don't believe there's a devil. They don't believe there's a God either. And since both God and the devil are a spirit substance, God's a spirit, God is spirit, the devil is a created spirit. Yet God made him. And therefore both are unseen by the natural man. And so the devil makes himself unknown and deceives those who won't believe that he is real and plays games with their souls. See, the devil is a, and we see that in the book of Job. Where have you been? What are you up to? Well, I've been around here and there, and it's obvious what he's doing. He's deceiving people. And he's a created being that is so powerful and so intelligent, and so that only one man in the history of the world was ever able to defeat his superior nature. He's a superior being. As such, the God of all creation has set things up in just such a way so that it requires a right relationship with that man, Jesus Christ, in order for any of the rest of us to defeat the devil. We can't defeat him on our own. He's too smart for us. And the fact that he's a great deceiver that has deceived the whole world, and until he's become the God of the world, and the world don't even know that he is. I mean, he's over all of these big shots, and over the Russian leaders, and yet it is necessary that each one of us defeats the enemy. It's a necessity. However, if any of us want eternal life, John 17:3, then we must have a right knowledge of the makeup of both the Creator and the greatest of His creation ever, the man Christ Jesus. And the devil tries to use the stupidity of man's intelligence. How do you like that? The stupidity of man's intelligence. That ought to make people real happy. The stupidity of man's intelligence to convince men that there is no God. And in the same vein, the devil uses men's stupid intelligence to write the Bible off as old wives' tales, things of the past, even though it's 5,000 years old and hasn't changed. And last but not least, the devil has tried to change the identity of the man who defeated him into a God substance. And I can understand why. Which would probably make more sense to ignorant men. I mean, how could a mere man defeat such a superior being, who, by the way, was one of the most powerful angels that God ever created? The devil, I think he was second in command. He was over a third of the angels of heaven, and he was, so the whole world basically sits in a mass darkness, as men's souls are battered to and fro by volleyball demons. And a lot of men are going to end up going to hell and wonder how they got there, but they refuse to be sober and vigilant and as far as the devil is concerned. Mm-hmm. Be sober. Not vigilant. What's the other word? Be sober.
I think it's vigilant.
Is it vigilant? In 1 Peter 2:9, back to that, when it says, a peculiar people, in some of the translations, here, you know, I've got this 1:8 translation thing that I keep referring to, and some of the more modern accepted translations. But anyway, and it says a number of things, but one of them where it says a peculiar people, it's translated that they are a people set aside by God. That's one of them. And or another one says his own special people, that would declare or show or proclaim the excellence or the praise of the goodness or the wonderful acts of God. I mean, I kind of put all these together out of the different things, because each one of them come up with something different, but it all is the same thing. It all means the same thing. But the peculiar people, the people set aside by God, you know, and rather than a chosen generation, some of the translations say a chosen people or a chosen race or ones that are chosen by God. And for a royal priesthood, it says, in some translations. It says, a kingdom of priests, royal priests, chosen by God for the high calling of priestly work. And so are we called to be a kingdom of priests? And you know what? Why not? Why aren't we? Mm-hmm. A priest was to represent God to men. And so when Christ was called the express image of God, that was as high as men could get in the office of the high priest, and especially since he was in Hebrews 10:21, it refers, I think it's Hebrews 10:21, it refers to Christ as a high priest over the house of God. And since to see him was to see God, I mean, that's what he said. And so in 1 Timothy 2:5, Jesus is referred to as the mediator. Well, which would mean one who settles the differences between two parties. That's what a mediator does. As a matter of fact, this friend, this woman friend of Joe's, Maggie, that she was a union representative, and she settled, you know, very, very good at arguing, you know, whatever. And so she did it for years. So as a high priest, does he not also perform the function or reconcile men to God? In second, which is 2 Corinthians 5:19. And so God has committed unto his real heart circumcised priesthood. That's what they are. Circumcised in the heart and not the flesh. A ministry of reconciling the lost unto him. See, God wants his real royal priesthood, his holy nation, to reconcile the lost unto him. However, in order to do so, men need to know who he is and what it is that he wants them to do. And as things stand today, it is not men trying to reconcile the lost over to God, but rather trying to entice whosoever will, that they can, over to their former religion. And as the religious leaders in Jesus' day were unaware of God's real will, so today, church after church is unaware of the contents of the book that they are sure they are experts on, and yet the works or the words of eternal life are all foreign to them. Or just about all of them are foreign. Mm-hmm. Unless I should seem to sound special, except for the grace and the mercy of God that has allowed us access to God's, to the Holy Spirit. We know nothing. There's not anything we can know unless God reveals it by his Spirit.
That's right.
And if God has given his Holy Spirit so as to guide men into truth, it said all truth, and they choose some other way, well, will truth actually come, or will men become deceived? You know, if God sets the Holy Spirit up to lead into truth, and we choose some other way, are we going to get truth? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like what it says in Jude 19. Their basic problem was they didn't have the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. And as such, what is the basic problem within today's churches? Even though a lot of people speak in tongues, what is the basic problem? They're missing the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. What do? You get teachers, and you train them, and you get intellectuals in you. You use the smartest people you have in the church, and they teach the ones that are a little bit not, you know, they're not as smart, but they're not totally dumb, and they teach the ones that are dumber. I'm being foolish here, but I heard somebody make a statement years ago. I heard a man, and the fellow, I think he had major problems, but this statement was was really, it was good. And he said, it is not so much if you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you?
Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm.
And see, the true children of God are those who are carefully led by the Holy Spirit. Is that what it says? Mm-hmm. Those that are led by the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. How about those that they are the true sons of God? Is it okay to put that word in there? Mm-hmm. And since we are workers together with God through Christ, I'm getting it. I'm starting to understand. Mm-hmm. We are workers together with God through Christ. We are workers together with God through Christ. Christ is the vine and we are the branches. We can't do it except through Christ. Then all of these things make a difference to God. See, I have seen some great things over the years, and I have. But here's the thing is, I was surprised by every great thing that ever happened. See, if we are truly led by the Holy Spirit, then we probably won't know a lot ahead of time what is about to take place. We won't know. I was never told ahead of time that Jerome was going to be healed and have a worldwide ministry with the full gospel of Islam. That was a big surprise. And I never would have guessed that I would one day be casting out devils in Switzerland. What are the chances? You know what I mean? I would have never guessed that would ever could ever happen. And if we continue on as we are right now, God is going to one day lead us into some things that, and we don't have a clue as yet, but it'll be phenomenal. Philip was sent to speak to the eunuch in the desert, and he later was found to be in a town named Azotus. He was transposed? That's not the word, but
transported somehow.
Transported, yeah, that's the word. And that's in Acts chapter 8:40. Could that happen to any one of us? And you know, my answer is, why not? I have had all of church as it exists today that I can stomach and without vomiting. It's not even a good imitation. It doesn't sound like the real thing, it doesn't look like the real thing, and it doesn't act like the real thing.
Bad counterfeit, huh?
Yeah, in Matthew 10:33 and Luke 9:26 is a warning to those who want to be saved. And in Luke 9:26, it is especially vital. It says, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of Christ and His words, whosoever shall be ashamed of Christ and His words, whoever will be ashamed of Christ and His words." He will come, when He comes in His glory, someplace, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them as well, okay? Mm-hmm. And in His Father's, in His Father's glory, and of the holy angels' glory. I don't know what that means. That's in Luke 9:26. Meaning what? See, 1 John 4:2 tells us that every spirit, and then it changes it, lets us know, every prophet that teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And listen, today's church is basically so far removed from that understanding so that men don't even know, and they don't even know. And so, or they're ashamed to admit it. I don't even know when I wrote, but. And so is not today's church basically ashamed of the words of God through Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're ashamed because they've come up with their private interpretations until they don't have the real thing. And would rather go by their own watered down whatever they think they have, than to go by every word that Jesus told the devil in Matthew 4:4. You know what? That is a major thing. That's major. And since Jesus told us in John 17:17 that God's word is truth, then does it not require the entire word as we see it? Does it require the whole thing so as to come up with all truth? And if men do read their Bibles and yet pick and choose what they want to use, I mean, that rhymed. They pick and choose what they want to use. Then are they not deciding for themselves what truth is? This is what we believe. You ever, you know, I've had people come in and they say, well, you know, they want to kind of decide when they want to go to our church. Well, what do you guys believe? What do you guys believe? What do you believe? And you know, I used to sit there and think, I'm not even sure what we believe, but I'm not sure how to tell them. You know, what do I tell them? I mean, this is years ago. I mean, not just lately, but years ago. Today it's worse. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's better today. And so many people think of themselves more highly than they ought to think in Romans 12:2, to the point that I know of some who once said that several chapters within the Bible were in the, especially in the book of Revelation, were in the wrong order. And the reason is, I mean, how could any person 60 years old or less read a 5,000-year-old book and say some of these chapters are in the wrong order? And the reason is because it threw their doctrine off kilter. There are those who say that 1 Corinthians 14 does not belong within the Bible. And the reason is because they don't believe in speaking in tongues. They don't want anything to do with it. Which also means that many think of the Bible as the writings of men rather than a book that is at least, lots of it, at least 5,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And as much... And much of it is, you know, yeah, at least over 5,000, which could only be preserved as such by the Creator who has made sure it stayed in circulation. When I see this little Wonder Bible thing that is it's so, you know, you can buy it in so many different places, and I think that is not man's idea. God has made sure that's out there. He wants His word circulated because there are going to be those who are going to read that word and not be deceived by the church. So I need to willingly and openly take in every word God said. And I need to do it rather than trust my poorly developed mind to decide the truth within God's word and ignore the Holy Spirit. I have ignored the Holy Spirit for years. I don't want it anymore. In Hebrews 11:6, we can easily miss what God is wanting to tell us. I mean, it is so obvious, and yet you can miss it so easy. If men somehow refuse to believe in God, churchgoer or not, and that, I mean, if men refuse to believe in God, churchgoer or not, and that God rewards those who run as fast as they can after Him, or seek Him until they find Him, and then keep on keeping on going after Him, then that is the basis here for whether we please God or not. If we won't believe God, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, see, God is totally in charge. And so whatever He says is the way that things are. And as such, when James 1:18, that of God's own will, He begat us with His own, with His words of truth. Can we therefore be begotten by God in and of false doctrine? I think I said that a couple times in this message. And based upon that scripture, does it really matter what we believe? Even though the unity through diversity promoters think that it doesn't make any difference. See, Galatians 5:17 tells us that the flesh lusts against the spirit, or the lower nature of man resists what the Holy Spirit and the human spirit wants the soul of man to experience. The human spirit really wants, the human spirit is not does not lust after the flesh. The human spirit will go either spirit, it'll go either demonically or it'll go godly. It has a propensity to go either way. And so, but the spirit of man wants the soul of man to experience the things in God. And in Romans, in Revelation 19:13, we read that Jesus will be called the Word of God. And my thoughts are, the call of the priesthood, or the priest of God, is to be sure that God's Word is not defiled. That was their call. Mm-hmm. As such, and see, Jesus was, he was called, born and sent, to make sure that God's Word came forth in truth and was not defiled. And so, as such, the royal priesthood would be chosen based upon their love for the truth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
As God's Word declares it, in John 3:34, John the Baptist makes a major declaration, and he says that those who God sends speaks the words of God. I'm going to read it, reword it, and say those who God really sends speaks only the words of God. Well, I have been in a lot of different churches over the years where men did not speak only the words of God.
Right.
And much of what I heard was not revealed by the Holy Spirit, but rather men trusted their great intellect to interpret the letter of what God said, of what they thought God said. And so for the last 18 years or so, I have had to unlearn the letter and be taught spiritual truths by the only one who is able to do that, which is the Holy Spirit. And so, by faith, myself and others have discovered the God-given ministry of the Holy Spirit and have had major doctrine changes because of the Holy Spirit working on us. We've had major changes take place. There's an old saying, it says, he that is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Years ago, I heard someone say, no matter what anybody tells me, no matter what anyone says, I believe that Jesus is a God. I heard somebody say that. I don't matter what anybody says. I believe that Jesus is a God. You know what? There's a lot of people like that. It doesn't matter what anybody says. I believe. I believe this. And you know why they believe that? Because they heard it over for too many years. Mm-hmm. It's become a part of their inner structure. And my question today would be, you mean even if God's Word says that He is not, you'd still believe it? And of course, God's Word portrays Christ as the Son of Man, glorified by God, who God elevated into the position of Lord and Christ, and who God has given all power and all authority to. He gave it to him in heaven and on earth. See, because God has given so much power and even the fullness of his own spirit to that man, men are not able to see Christ as a man. It defies even the imagination of the human mind. And so, if and since God is choosing a certain people and making them into a royal priesthood, a holy nation, would he not put the spirit of his only begotten Son in them? And that's what it says. Christ in us, the hope of glory. what part of him. And especially send them forth to bear witness to the truth and not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I mean, God is going to produce royal priests that will actually show forth God's will and praise Him in spirit and in truth, and show forth the one that called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's kind of as close to what I got written on. you know what?
That's good. That's good.
I appreciate you guys. I love it. But you know what? You know what the highlight of my week is? This. Mm-hmm. I'm in this for hours. And I love it. I love it. And I know something. And at some point, God is going to raise up a people. And especially today, it doesn't matter whether it's how many it is. That's not even the issue.